a resume writing ebook.
Huh?
And that's a pretty hot niche too. It's pretty competitive, but it exists. And what we've done for him is he sells his ebook, which is $30.
Mm-hmm.
And then for $200, he'll just write your resume for you.
Excellent.
And it's doing very well. Most people who buy the ebook just, and then all of a sudden 2 days later, he gets an email from him saying, "Hey, look, do you really want to write the resume yourself?"
Yep.
You know, most of them say, "No, I don't. Here's $200. Do it for me."
Excellent.
So you know, and so he didn't have to create a product. Really, it's just a service, something he likes doing anyways. So
super.
You know, so he, in his case, yes, he created his own ebook, but someone who wants to do it can just as easily sell an affiliate ebook on the topic of resume writing, and then follow up with those people to offer them to write it for them.
Right. Okay. So is there a relationship then between the original price that people pay and the upsell price? Like this guy sells a $30 ebook and then the next upsell is $200. Would it be unreasonable to think someone would buy a $30 ebook and then a $600 service?
Actually, yeah, I found that, and I learned a lot of this from Frank Kern. He's pretty good about this stuff because I like to call him the king of upselling from listening to him.
Uh-huh.
That's how he builds most of his businesses. He upsells expensive products. What I found is it seems to work like you have to sell your customer over and over
mm-hmm.
to gain your trust. So a little system that I've set up is, okay, first I got to sell them on giving me their email.
Mm-hmm.
So they opt in, and what they've given me is, okay, look, I give you the right to contact me. That's how much trust I'm going to give you right now.
Yep.
Then I follow up with them, and then I get to them. I could probably get them to buy something between $30 to $50.
Right, okay.
And now at that point, the window is now open for me to move in for, in my opinion, a product that ranges between about $100 to $500.
Right, okay.
That's just from experience. I see that in some niches, you will find that you can move in for the $1,000 kill.
Right away.
Right, but that's very rare. So what most marketers do is it's email, then it's maybe $30 or $40 guide,
uh-huh.
then it's some kind of $500 thing,
mm-hmm.
then it's the $2,000 or $3,000 upsell.
Okay.
So I'll give you like a live example. Like people will do this in the internet marketing field all the time, or they'll do this in the real estate field all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You sign up for an e-sign. We all know what those are. We're all used to signing up for them.
Yeah.
Then they sell you the $30 ebook.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll come back and sell you, "Well, I've got a $500 physical package with a home study course I'll mail you."
Yeah.
Then every year, they might have one or two live seminars,
right,
or conferences that you actually fly to and stay, and those will cost anywhere between $1,000 to $2,000.
Okay, yeah.
So that's the process they set up.
Excellent. Now you mentioned there that when you're marketing, you use email. Do you find that with all the spam filters in place and things like that, that it's still actually possible to build an affiliate business using email?
Most definitely. I'll tell you what it is. Email effectiveness has definitely decreased. I won't argue that.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what it's gone down to. So and I'm giving you a live example because I've been using email, actually been using solo ads like crazy the last couple of weeks
uh-huh.
to promote Affiliate Classroom.
Right.
And almost, I would say 85% of them have been profitable. See, what's happening is before, maybe I would invest $100 and I would get anywhere between $500 or $600 back.
Yeah.
And that was when most of the emails were being delivered and, you know, e-signs weren't, you know, a dime a dozen.
Uh-huh.
Now, today what's happening is, okay, I invest $100, maybe I only get $200 or $250 back.
Right.
But nevertheless, it was profitable.
You're still in the positive, yeah.
Exactly. You're still making money. So it's decreased, yes. Now, is it completely, you know, gone? No, absolutely not. And I think both of us are examples because we have a huge list of questions for this interview itself,
mm-hmm.
and they were generated by us sending out lists, quick messages to our list.
Exactly.
So people are still getting the message. People are still responding. You know, how you treat your list is just number one. You know, I don't like promoting products too much to my list because I think that they get annoyed.
Okay.
So I love giving people content. I love helping people out. And then when I make a recommendation,
mm-hmm.
those guys will know, okay, he's serious.
Yeah.
This has got to be something that's seriously good for me because he wouldn't tell me otherwise. So I'm going to have a huge response rate.
Okay. So how often then would you mail an offer as opposed to sending content, which is building your reputation with the person? Would you do it like once or twice a month, or how often would you do that?
Yeah, it depends. Now, by an offer, I guess we better clarify what I mean by an offer. I mean like an actual physical mailing simply to get them to buy something.
Uh-huh.
Most of my content will always have, and this is not meant to sell them, but this is meant to simply say, if you want more information, this is where I got it from.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it'll have an affiliate link somewhere in the article saying, for example, I recently wrote an article about writing for articles and submitting them to directories.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that stuff I learned was from easyannouncer.com.
Right.
So I'll provide that reference link.
Excellent.
In the end. But, yeah, so I might do that once or twice a week. Depending
oh, okay.
on
yep.
how depending on how much content I write that week.
Uh-huh.
But an actual promotional piece that's just meant to say, hey, look, I found this, you need to buy it, maybe once or twice a month.
Okay, yeah. So how important, then, is article writing for you? It sounds like you write a lot of articles.
Yes. I started off, I was very lazy when I started off internet marketing, but as I've grown, I've realized that's where it's at. Content writing is where it's at on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm becoming even more and more active in it, and it's been very, very good for Affiliate Classroom.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I'm going to be releasing a case study in February where I'm going to reveal, just by submitting 5 or 6 articles to directories, how many members I was able to attract.
Excellent.
So that people can see how profitable it was.
Sure.
And that way I'm allowing my own affiliates for Affiliate Classroom to go out and just repeat the same process for themselves.
Beautiful.
Go ahead.
No, sorry, you go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, so I do write a lot of articles. My goal is to be submitting about 1 article a day, but I have not been about that.
Wow.
Very good about that. It's tough because writing an article is not always easy. I mean, I have a lot of stuff I can talk about.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, getting your thoughts together usually takes me at least half an hour, 45 minutes to pump out something that I would consider submitting.
Yeah.
And then even with all the submission tools and all of that stuff, it'll still take me about an hour, hour and a half to really submit them out.
Okay,
so
that's a good point there is what do you use to submit your articles? Once you've got it written, what do you do next?
It really depends on your niche.
Okay.
But, for example, in an internet marketing niche, mm-hmm. there's a website called submityouarticle.com.
Okay.
And it's a membership site. You have to pay, I think it's $37 a month.
Uh-huh.
But what's really neat is you just put your article in one place, hit submit, and I don't know how many places this guy submits it, but he has an automated system that submits it to I think he's like thousands of publishers and then hundreds of websites.
Okay.
And his system, I think for me, has proven to be the best so far.
Uh-huh.
But he only tailors to the internet marketing crowd. So
okay.
you can only, you know, it's how to make money or how to build a business type of articles. Then there's easyannouncer.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's by Jason Patosh, I think.
Yeah.
And his product is really good, too, because he has all sorts of niches in there. I mean, I don't know how he came up with that product. It must have taken him so long. But it's an excellent product. I'm just familiarizing myself with it now.
Uh-huh.
But I highly recommend it from what I've seen so far.
The next thing, how realistic would you say, as far as being an affiliate, how realistic is it to make a six-figure income just you promoting affiliate programs?
It is realistic, but I will warn everyone, it takes time.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to do 6 figures as an affiliate,
uh-huh.
become a master of search engine optimization.
Okay.
Because you can't, this is my personal opinion, once again, I guarantee someone will argue it,
mm-hmm.
you cannot make 6 figures unless you know search engine optimization.
Okay.
And I know someone who's out there doing Google AdWords will probably come out and say, that's not true, and here's my issue with Google AdWords. I agree that if I were to spend the next 3 months in a dungeon just testing different niches and putting up different ads,
mm-hmm.
that I could probably get it to a point where I'm making 6 figures.
Uh-huh.
But all Google has to do is make one tiny little announcement,
mm-hmm.
tiny little change, and there goes my entire income.
Right, yeah.
So if you learn the basics of search engine optimization,
mm-hmm.
and you do it the right way,
yeah.
there's a lot less chance of that happening. And, you know, most people will come back to me and argue the same thing. They'll say, well, what if someone makes a search engine change?
Yeah.
You know, I've been doing this for 2 years now. I watch search engines very closely.
Uh-huh.
One of my best buddies online is one of the top 30 search engine optimizers in the world.
Wow.
So I'll tell you that if you do the basics of Google, I mean, if you just do the basics that what they want, you just create real content, go after real linking strategy, just do a genuine job,
uh-huh.
they won't change their system to really block you. And even if they make changes, if you know SEO, it's so quick to change that
right.
page.
Yeah.
So, yeah, bottom line, you want to make six figures as an affiliate, no search engine optimization.
Okay. What about time? You said that it's a time-related function. What kind of a time frame would we be looking at?
Okay, so if you put up a brand new site today
mm-hmm.
and you want it to be number one for a keyword on search engines,
mm-hmm.
you're looking at 6 months now.
Okay.
So, and I'm looking, let's say I want to go after the keyword dog health.
Yeah.
So that's probably, my guess, pretty competitive keyword.
Yeah.
I might need a website that has 200 pages of content, 100 pages of content.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I set that all up today, and I start my linking strategy, and for the next 6 months, I continue getting links, and I continue doing the search engine optimization.
Mm-hmm.
6 months from now, when Google does all their updates,
yeah.
I might find myself on the first page.
Right, okay.
And at that point, I'll start seeing a lot of Google traffic. And so the strategy would be, okay, for those 6 months, you know, spend 1 month actively on one website.
Mm-hmm.
Just really drill away at it, and then you can probably take a month or two off while it's doing all the updates and
yeah.
it's just sitting there waiting to get indexed. Then you start working on your second one. So within 6 months, you might be able to, you know, if you're really, really doing it full time,
uh-huh.
you might be able to pump out like three or four really, really good affiliate websites and competitive niches. And once all those get indexed, yeah, you might find yourself making $10,000 plus a month.
That sounds promising.
but it sounds rosy, but it is not, you know, it's hard. I got to say, it's not easy stuff.
No,
but if you're willing to add your own upsells,
mm-hmm.
personal opinion, I think it's twice as easy at that point.
Okay, yeah. Because you're actually adding added value as well.
Yeah. I mean, you might take a average value of one customer from $10 up to $100.
Right.
You know, and so that's why I'm such an advocate of it, because as an affiliate, if you really want to make six figures and you really don't want to work as hard, then just add your own upsells.
Excellent. Now, you also mentioned in the affiliate site that you're building is to use some linking strategies. What do you use as a linking strategy?
Okay, so linking is the number one thing nowadays for search engine optimization.
Okay.
And second of all, linking is great itself because it brings a lot of traffic.
Okay.
So if nothing else, everyone should be doing linking because, you know, the way I look at it, and this is really a realistic way, is let's say I recruit 3,000 incoming links.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's just say that each link just sends me one guy a day.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, most of these sites, if they're getting at least a few hundred visitors or 1,000 visitors, you can at least, I'm sure you can skim one guy off of them.
Yeah.
And so if you can get 3,000 to give you one guy a day, that's 3,000 visitors a day.
Now, how do you do that? How do you get these links?
Okay, so really it's there's no trick to it. You find the websites,
mm-hmm.
and for that what I do is I go to Google.
Yeah.
And I type in my niche,
mm-hmm.
and they'll, of course, type out a bunch of sites. Mm-hmm. And so I create a little Excel file. And I just email them. I say, hey, look, I saw your site. I like it. I have a website on a related niche, and I thought maybe you would consider exchanging links with me.
Okay. And what do you do with their link then?
I will put it up on what you'll do is usually you'll create kind of a directory page on your own site,
mm-hmm.
like a link directory. So if their site is about, you know, dog potty training, then I might have a directory link that says potty training, and then if someone clicks it, they'll see their site there.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, and don't expect, if you email 100 people,
mm-hmm.
you'll get maybe 5, 8, maybe.
Okay.
So it's an ugly business as far as, it's all about numbers.
Yeah.
When you come into the linking business, all about numbers. How many emails can you send out a day requesting links?
Okay. So it's a sales job all on its own.
Exactly. Yep. You're always selling someone on something.
That's true. Back on the affiliate side of things, I just recently read the statistics that it suggested that only 5% of affiliates are actually making any real money. Why do you think that is?
Well, actually, first of all, it's good news because I think that number's gone up. I think it used to be a lot lower than that. The main reason is, Terry, is that people are not patient. Uh-huh. Affiliate marketing requires patience.
Okay.
And they're just not patient, and it's so easy to sign up as an affiliate. So that in itself creates this, you know, we have hundreds of thousands, millions actually, millions of affiliate marketers. But they're not really affiliate marketers. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just because they signed up for an affiliate program.
They're just sign-up junkies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But you can't have that in the merchant industry because you have to actually create your own product.
Yep.
So, you know, that's kind of another little psychological benefit of having your own upsell is, now you're serious.
Yeah.
Because you actually spend time to create a service or create a product. So it's not just like, I spent 2 seconds to sign up as an affiliate. I got this good-looking link, and I'm done. No, I actually spent time on this. So I'm not going to let it go that quickly.
Exactly.
So I think the biggest issue is, you know, yeah, affiliate marketing isn't easy. Most people are kind of lost on what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the huge root of it is people who call themselves affiliate marketers really aren't affiliate marketers.
Right, yep. So that kind of brings the percentage,
it moves
it up or down depending on how you're looking at it.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I think the biggest issue is that, yeah, there is affiliate marketing requires patience and it requires work.
Uh-huh.
You have to do a lot of work. What people most likely do is they'll put in a couple of weeks worth of work.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they'll get one or two sales and they'll say, God, that's not worth it.
Yeah.
And then they'll quit. But what they don't realize is they're right there. If they just kept going, it's like, you know, Tony's just pushed them over the edge.
Yep.
Because they're almost there. But if they just do another couple of weeks or another few weeks worth of the same amount of work, then they're going to end up setting themselves up with a long-term income, but they just gave up too soon.
They're right at the edge.
Exactly.
Just didn't quite jump off.
Exactly. Just quit a little bit too soon.
So how many, developing an affiliate business then, how many affiliate programs should somebody be promoting at the same time?
Okay, this is a huge question, a massive amounts of debate, and I can already tell I'm going to get emails from people saying, it's not true. I will follow one thing I learned from Ken Envoy is that if on a particular site,
mm-hmm.
if you're making a product recommendation,
uh-huh.
always recommend about 2 or 3 different products.
Okay, within the same area of business?
Right. So, for example, if I am selling a vitamin site and someone comes and says, okay, I want a vitamin D, so I have a page about vitamin D,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say, look, buy this company, this one.
Okay.
I'm going to say, all right, here's a review. Here's 3 of them. These are the 3 most highly recommended ones. Here's this one. Here's the pros and cons. Here's this one. Here's the pros and cons. And here's the 3rd one. The one I personally recommend you get is 1.
Uh-huh.
But it's up to you kind of thing.
Okay, so you have actually 3 affiliate programs for exactly the same product.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
Now, the benefit in this is people love to make choices.
Yeah.
And they love to know that they're in control.
Uh-huh.
And your conversions will shoot through the roof when people know they're in control. Because when they go to that merchant site,
uh-huh.
they chose to go to that site.
Right.
It's a massive psychological difference than I was forced to go to the site because there was no other link.
Yeah.
Rather than I read that one, and I read the other one, and I chose to come here, and this is the better product, they're already going in with a buying frame of mind.
So do the majority of them go through your recommendation anyway?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the best part. Most of them will go through your recommendation.
So do you have different price classes within the 3 that you're recommending, or are they all pretty much the same?
They can, you know, don't make them wildly different.
Uh-huh.
Or as a strategy if you want to sell is the one that you're trying to push, make that the cheaper one.
The cheaper one?
It, depending on your product. I mean, okay. If you're in the vitamin market, then you can kind of argue for a more expensive vitamin.
Uh-huh.
Saying, hey, look, this is better vitamin, it costs more money, kind of thing, you know?
Yep.
And you might make more money, but if you're just selling someone, you know, I don't know, selling someone that's something that's trivial, kind of, it's not going to make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Then they might choose to go for the cheaper one because it's less money.
Yeah.
Usually I would say stick around the same price range. Make it more of a debate about quality and stuff like that rather than the price.
Okay, yeah.
But, I mean, some of the sites that do the best online, I don't know if you've ever been to sites like nestegg.com, or
nope.
These other sites, they're just genius ideas. All they are is I go to the site, I type in, okay, look, I want an MP3 player.
Uh-huh.
And so you type in MP3 player, and it's going to come up with a list and say, okay, well, which model do you want to look at? So I'll choose the model.
Uh-huh.
And then all it's going to do is it has like 30 different internet stores that are offering the MP3 player.
Uh-huh.
And it just tells you, look, this store has free shipping, and it's giving, you know, such and such a discount. You can buy a total price for this much. It'll be shipped out within so many days. And you just go down a list of 30 of them. And it ranks them in price, it ranks them in quality, whatever you want to rank it in. And those sites make the most money because, you know, once I click on it, I mean, I'm pretty much making my decision right there. Look, I'm going to buy this one.
Right, yeah.
But I'll go back to that site every single time. I'll go back there every single time because every time I want to buy something new, I'm going to go back there because they offer, they give me everything I need in one shot.
Excellent.
So, and, you know, that's where that whole idea came from. So you can see it working live. There's some big corporate companies doing this, and they're making awesome from it very well.
Using your concept of choice.
Right, well, it's not mine. But
or your the one you mentioned,
yeah.
Your concept of choice.
You know, I learned it from Ken Envoy, but I think that concept has been around for quite a while.
Right, yeah. So then if I'm looking at an affiliate program to promote them, is it better to go after high-priced items or low-priced items?
It really depends on the niche. My personal preference is to go after both.
Okay.
And, you know, I've been drilling that the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Sell the low price one first and then sell the high price one second.
Right.
It really depends on your niche, and it depends on how much money that niche is willing to spend. I know that, for example, I've heard from people, and I haven't any personal experience, so don't quote me on this, but I heard that, like, in the golfing niche, mm-hmm. it's easier to sell someone an expensive product than it is to sell them a cheap product.
Because of perceived quality, maybe?
Yeah, perceived quality, plus the kind of clientele you're dealing with.
Uh-huh.
Golfers are all into, you know, for the most part, into, like, the classy, like, first of all, they have a huge hobby.
Yeah.
They're advocates. Golf people buy a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Second of all, they golf with their buddies.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a little bit of a, like, they don't want to get the cheap thing.
Right,
because,
yeah.
I'm going to pull out a $2,000 putter because it's better than the one my buddy plays with.
Yeah.
Even though I don't know how to golf at all,
yep.
you know, I'm just going to pull out the more expensive one. So I've learned that in some of the classy types, some of the, you know, well, at least the stigma about them is like they're classy or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to sell someone something expensiver. But, you know, I think someone has to be careful before they say something like that. You need to test it for your own niche.
Right, okay.
And I always say offer both. You know, at least if they don't want to buy the expensive one, then they'll buy the cheap one.
Sure. Yeah, back to your the choice formula.
Yeah, exactly.
So is there any promotional techniques that are different if you're promoting a high-priced product as opposed to a low-priced product?
Yeah, I think if you're going to promote a high-priced product, it's a little bit longer of a process.
Okay.
There needs to be more trust developed.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. For example, if I set up a site that's like a corporate site, like I'm just going to sell someone golf clubs,
yep.
you know, then okay, if someone comes to my site, you can choose between 10 different golf clubs. Choose whichever one you want and order and leave.
Uh-huh.
That's very different than I am selling a real estate training package,
uh-huh.
right, where you can buy anywhere, but you can buy a $40 e-books. There's people selling $40 e-books on how to learn how to do real estate. Whereas I'm trying to convince you, no, come to my $3,000 seminar,
uh-huh.
right? Or as an affiliate, I'm saying, come to this guy's $3,000 seminar.
Yep.
Okay, at that point, I have to somehow convince that guy, okay, why should I come to a $3,000 seminar when I can buy a $40 ebook?
Right.
So that's when we kick into the whole process that I had mentioned.
Uh-huh.
So what I'll probably try to do is, okay, I'll give him an e-sign first.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your email. They'll give me their email. Now I'll start following up with them. What I'll do is most likely I'll deliver them some free products, like some free e-books
uh-huh.
that are informational, but at the same time they do a very, very fine-tuned job of promoting the seminar.
Uh-huh.
So they're informational, but at the same time they have the little plugs spread out throughout them. And then what I might try to do is say, here, buy, you know, how about you see how my last seminar was? Mm-hmm. I'll sell you the taped version of the seminar
yep.
for $300 or whatnot. And then you say, then, you know, they buy the tape seminar or whatever, and you continue building the trust with them because you're offering them great customer service during this whole time.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully, maybe even when you got their email, maybe you picked up their phone number.
Yeah.
or whatnot, and then you start calling them. You know, you maybe drop them a phone call and say, how's everything going? Any questions I can answer? It's really a game of trust building.
Uh-huh.
And that's when, and you know, within a few days of that, that's when you can plug them, say, look, $3,000 seminar. The reason you should come to this guy is because you see how we provide great service. You know, your $40 ebook guy isn't going to provide any of that.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's selling an expensive product is more of a process. You know, just like, for example, when I sold a $500 service, the first thing I did was I first sold them the $150 software.
Uh-huh.
And then I sold them a $500 service.
And that was within a very short period of time, wasn't it?
I did it within 2 days of selling them the $150 software.
Right.
Actually, this is something I learned from one of the biggest marketers I've ever met, is Michael Masterson.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things he taught me, which opened my eyes, he gave a really unique story, and I always share it with people. I act as if it's mine, but it's really not.
Yeah.
And he got it from someone else also. What it was he says he was in an airport with one of his buddies one day, and they walked into one of those really expensive briefcase stores.
Uh-huh.
And Michael Masterson has an addiction to briefcases. He always likes to keep the newest, fanciest, nicest one on him.
Uh-huh.
Whereas his buddy had this really beat up, old, like 10-year-old, ripping apart one.
Uh-huh.
So they walk into this briefcase store, and there's only one sales guy there.
Uh-huh.
And he says him and his buddy both split up and went to different directions.
Mm-hmm.
So the question to us was, all right, who should that salesman approach? The guy who already has, like, the latest model,
mm-hmm.
or at least one of the latest models, or the guy who has a 10-year-old one?
Yeah.